Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. There are no, whether I'm kicked out or not, I'm going to check in and ask you to be patient. Blessing. Amen. Well, I'm going to dial back in, so hang tight. Be right back.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold, and you'll be able to listen to the show.
Pulled out of bed, but it felt so nice to.
You are now in the host
have that
queue.
Extra time. And I see Emilio's back in the studio. Welcome, Emilio.
Thank you.
Maha is feeling incommensurable bliss, and I'm feeling rested. How are you feeling today?
I am feeling, I'm actually feeling a lot better than I have felt in the last couple of days. And even now, I'm feeling great. I'm not panicked. The system kicked me out. Those symbols, just, there's something about the vibration that just bumped me right off the line. And so I'm feeling excited and great to be back and be here with you.
Thanks, Emilio. So, again, before we introduce our topic, I will go ahead and share with everyone our ritual reading. You can find it on the ebook that we're working with, which is called The New Essenes. And you can find it on empoweringnow.com and navigating over to the blog section, you'll find some links to the New Essenes ebook. Welcome to the New Essenes. We are a gathering of ordinary people practicing deep introspection as a way to come to know ourselves and solve everyday problems. Our inquiry is based on the idea that the word is alive and that language is where our power lives. Communication is not what is said and done, but the result of what is said and done. By joining in, engaging and coming back, we increasingly benefit from the distilled essence of an ultimate method of inquiry. Authored by Mahalene Louie and known as the Path of XPR, that inquiry is radical as it is based on sacred geometry. Each time we honestly engage in this learning, the cosmos rejoices. Each time we participate in a meeting, we renew the understanding that there is only one of us. We thereby increase our capacity to love what is and to sustain the sense of enough. And I see it looks like V joined us. Welcome, V. How are you today?
Excellent. Thank you.
Good to be with you. Anybody hear anything new, different out of the New Essenes reading today?
Well, what touched me, Michael, family, is ultimate method of inquiry. And this kind of blows me away to think about an ultimate method of inquiry, because what my experience is that there's no judgment in that ultimate method of inquiry. It's ultimate, meaning that it goes to the end, the finiteness of peeling piece by piece like an onion skin, but it's ultimate in that it's all-inclusive. And when I think that it's based on sacred geometry, a quote came to mind that says that figures don't lie, liars figure. And it's all in the numbers. And when you look at it in the perfection of what we're talking about, created six and that whole aspect of sacred geometry and an ultimate method of inquiry, that's what touched me today, that it's an ultimate method of inquiry.
And mine was related to that. I heard the word capacity, that singular word capacity today, as the ability to receive or contain the maximum amount or number that can be received or contained. And I like this definition, the actual or potential ability to perform. So if I stretch the limits on this word capacity from meaning more than just a sheer quantity, it's also the potential for love. It holds the capacity for actually loving what is. And that seems to be a challenge at times, and I need to hear that word. V, Maha, anything you guys heard?
Well, I joined the chorus here. What I heard today was the word inquiry. Just on its own, inquiry, the power of being in a pattern and, doing the same thing over and over again and having the blessing of inquiry. Why am I doing what I'm doing? And so that ties into what Emilia was saying about, granted that inquiry is the most important tool to become conscious and surrender and out of the way, that is how I come to the capacity. So that's why I'm saying from the choir, there seems to be an alignment here.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking about inquiry and codes and what we're, doing in the month of June, I drew Koof this morning, and I take these readings very seriously. And so for those of you that are new to XPR, we work with the Hebrew letters and the characters, literally, like cartoon characters are, that we study in a new way. That's a simple way of describing what the newest scenes are. We could go into a lot more. But when I drew Kuf, the question of Kuf relates to, can I be still? I mean, I'm looking here for the card to read the precise statement. Can you wait for the path to be clear before my next word or action? And I didn't know what the topic for today's show was going to be at 10:35 this morning. And so I just started to look at Google, and I came across an article which I found to be very interesting. And what I've learned over the years is to notice the feeling of why and how I'm guided to do one thing versus another, an inclination, you might say. And to me, this felt like my heart guiding me to read this article. And the article, for those of you, you may have seen it. I mean, it's on today's Google News in the science section. And the article related to this discovery that science has come across. And the title to the article is How Birds Became Red. And I said, well, I love these little cardinals. They at times come and land on the bird feeder outside my window. And what this article goes on to do is to explain how birds over time have been able to modify their color. And it relates scientifically to a specific gene that at one time was yellow. And because of the diet that these birds consume, they convert to red. And there was a couple of different studies looking specifically at the DNA code itself, which when you look at the resonance between yellow versus red, they appear to be complementary. In other words, yin-yang. The locations on the gene for yellow are just the opposite of the locations for genes activated for red, and there was this beautiful synergy between yellow and red. So you could read more about the article if you want to, but the question that sparked for me for us to chat today together about is, would or how would understanding a metaphysical code, a metaphysical color code, either help or detract our experience of physical life? And I'm going to pause and, first of all, hear your comments on the article and see if you have any modifications to the question and how you feel about it.
So what I heard you say is that a bird changes the colors of its feather out of what he or she nourishes himself with? Is that,
yes.
Did I get that right?
Yes, that's part of it. So yes, the birds do shift, and the ones that shift to red shift from the color yellow. So, you know, for those of us that are familiar with the code of XPR, which in a moment I'm going to take us through the next page and then we'll do our random page selection to go along with this. But for those of us that have studied the color code of XPR, colors and how we understand colors turn out to be an archetypal connection. In this case, the yellow connects to the identity of a child and red connects to the identity of a leader. But I found it interesting that out of all of the colors of the spectrum, that this red and yellow would be related to one another in an inverse manner. In other words, just on the location of the code where you would stimulate yellow, you would repress red and vice versa. And so that would show up in nature is the observation. And the question from there is, if I knew that there was a metaphysical code that could give a deeper understanding to the physical world, what does that do for us? You know, beyond being, oh, that's cool, you know, or that's a really spiritual idea, how does that really help me in my own practicality of life? That's the question.
I love the question, Michael Wolff. Beautiful.
Did that resonate for you guys, Verena, Emilio? Because I know it's kind of a lot of content, but did the question make sense to you guys?
This is Verena.
Yeah.
I get it because I'm a birder, and I do observe the colors, and I ask myself, the Baltimore Oriole, how can it be such a brilliant orange and black? And I want to do a meditation on it. So, yes, definitely have a color code that is way beyond the things I've learned about would be helpful and is helpful and is fascinating for introspection.
Yeah. I know at the deeper levels, I mean, I've studied a lot of color theory, and I know Maha has studied a lot of color theory. And, you know, getting into the additive and the subtractive principles of light versus, you know, reflectivity and so forth, and the difference between printing and projecting and all of this is a very scientific topic that has pundits on both sides of the equation. And XPR does go there from a very depth perspective, which I'm certain of. And for today, let's see what we can do to make it really helpful and practical and beneficial. And I feel like the good place to begin would be on page 4, the miracle of PPP. Maha or Emilio or Verena, one of you guys want to summarize this page for us and what it's about?
I'll do it. So the miracle of PPP, it's a very colored page to begin with. And visually there is a formation, almost like a flower, speaking of nature, that organizes six spheres around a center point. So if I begin at the top, there is a grayish sphere, and then I'm going to go counterclockwise. It becomes green, red, brown, blue, and azure. And as the azure center sphere comes in, then the yellow sphere in the middle is formed, because each single time there is a crossing, there is a connectedness, a vessel that is formed, so that by the end, the whole geometry completes, revealing a circle in the middle. Now, that progression from top counterclockwise is mirrored in the table. If I look at the last row at the bottom called Be Love, and I move from black to green, 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6, that is the exact same progression. And what that does is it sends me back into the gold of one. And now I'm going to go to a different progression. Back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Those six spheres, which exist above and below. So you spoke of the metaphysical code. There's the metaphysical code of above, which is reflected in the physical code of below. And when we get it together, that's when we experience a synchronicity or a miracle, like calling a person and the person tells you, I was just thinking about you. That is when above and below become one. We're in the center of the geometry. Now, what we are offering is that the first chapter of Genesis, the 6 days of creation, that actually here, there are pictured here as table with the lines of colors and as a geometry. This geometry is called the seed of life, and it's also called the Genesis pattern because the world was created in 6 days. Each sphere is a day. Each cell is a day. However, another foundation of the new scene is to look at language as being our power, and as communication as being the result of what is said and done, and not what is said and done. Therefore, if it is the results, then it is not the world that was created in 6 days, but the word. And therefore, we have 6 days and six colors of possibility for our inquiry that refer to elements and that refers to words that we deduct from elements. So elements would be ether is black, water is blue, fire is red, earth is brown. Everybody can agree to that all over the planet. So from there, we get into knowledge and ignorance. From there, we can explain the 6 days of everything. So it's a lot in this one page that is part of what is clarified in our new version software. How did you call it, Michael? New scene 2.0
or 2.0.
2.0, thank you. 2.0, no, it's seen. But basically, here we are, six color stages. that connect to the meaning of color. So if I look at this page, why would the soul be blue? Why would the heart be red? And when I know that red is fire and water is blue, then I can see that the heart is on fire, that the soul flows. And it gives me an entire understanding of myself that I never had before. So that's page 4 adapted to your subject of choice. Up and Mike and up and Michael.
Thanks, Maha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So V, Emilio, anything you guys wanted to share out of this?
No, I'm
go ahead.
I'm following along, and I just think it's amazing that there are no accidents and coincidences, and it's just amazing to see how the different pieces relate to everything, and that's an essence of what I was sharing coming in. It's just an ultimate method of inquiry. Now we've taken it to the point in that inquiry that it's much more than Columbo asking questions. It's deep. It's into the colors, the colors, the elements, the vibration. It's all of that. And to see just how that's evidenced in a cardinal to start us off, it's amazing. But that just says that we can see it anywhere. We were just looking at a cardinal, and Verena mentioned the Oriole, which happened to be on opposite ends. So I just find it really amazing.
Yeah. And I'm looking at this picture of this Oriole in that article. For those of you that may be listening along, the name of the article that you can Google is called How Birds Became Red. And the article is written by Girl Scientist, G-R-R-L, at Girl Scientist, I think is the Twitter handle. And the... And looking at this color code on page 4 here, I'm seeing this vibrant color yellow resonating with the ignorance of being in a broken heart, and how the beautiful red here in quadrant number, you know, has the 3 right below the word heart, how that connects to being the fiery heart of knowledge when I'm in my leadership. And what this little cardinal knows is that I can transform. Speaking of the question, one of the answers that I have to this is that the bird itself is demonstrating the ability to morph. You know, there was something in its nature that knew, A, it wanted to change. It wanted no longer to be yellow. For whatever reason, to attract the girl birds, to ward off insects, or to attract insects, whatever the case may be, there was a desire to transform. And what we're talking about here in our curriculum is to move from the broken heart yellow to the red of the full-out leadership. So I know we're going to get into this a little bit more. I went ahead and went to random.com, and for those of you that are familiar with random number generators, that's what we're doing this month. And to complement this study, the first page that came up was page 36. And let's see how it relates to what we're looking at here and play with this a little bit. Emilio, Sophie?
This friend, I just wanted just to insert when you were just mentioning about the red and the leadership. The cardinal happens to be, in my mind, the one of the first birds that I hear in the morning, and one of the last birds I hear at night.
Mm.
I mean, it's got a very distinct sound, and it's really funny. It's like, wow, there is the leader. He, you know, the early bird gets the worm, and the last one to make sure everyone's done what they were supposed to be doing.
Yeah, exactly. V, are you in front of your computer now?
I am.
Would you be willing to read for us, take us through page 36? Let's see how this
connects. Would love to, one moment. Mm-hmm. The sound of silence. The Torah is without vowels to allow for existential silence. Words do matter in that they produce results. The Shabbat, when creation happens through me and not by me, is the interplay of speech and silence. And I'll stop here and mention that this particular page has a double fractal of Helusion and commerce versus silence at the top. Thus the Essenes only reluctantly allowed speech on that day, even when concerned with the words of Torah. If I believed that I could see anything created, would I be greedy? And to that response, I would say no. If I believed that I could see anything created, would I be greedy? No, greed would not be a concept. I couldn't be able to entertain it. Would greed, the root of all evils as excessive love of money, even exist if I weren't so attached to a scarcity mentality? Once again, no. I wouldn't feel like I would have to hoard just in case, you know, the work runs out or the money runs out or something runs out. I would have what I needed. I would trust in that and I would take care of it. At the root of every transgression, there is a fear. I blame money, a symbol, for making me feel not enough. I wear a mask to pay the bills, expecting to either use or get used, cheat or get cheated. I'm going to make them pay. This petty mentality is so painful that I want to be found out and once or for all and for all go out of business. Yet letting go is even more terrifying. And so I talk myself out of it one more time. Oh. Woo! Someone's been reading my stuff. Who's been listening into my conversations? Yeah.
You know, yesterday I was driving around Austin. Thomas and I went and had nice breakfast at our local diner here called Jim's. By the way, it's awesome. They serve a great vegetarian omelet. And anyhow, after breakfast, we drove around the neighborhood, and there was a neighborhood garage sale, and I just felt very abundant. So I gave Thomas a $20 bill for him to be able to, you know, while we were shopping at the garage sales, if he wanted to pick something up, he could do so. He said, thank you for the paper. And I said, well, you're welcome. He said, thank you for the money. And I said, well, Thomas, if anybody ever asks you, what you really have in your hand is a promissory note. It's not actually, you know, anything of value. It's the promise to be of value, which is much different than value, the promise of value. And we got to chatting about the idea, and I was tuning into the idea of commerce. And here, looking at our color code, what you had pointed out, Verena, is that Helusion connects to the false movement towards power. In other words, I can get power from the outside world, and how that relates to the not enough, the give and take, that has us believe that power is somewhere other than within, instead of becoming this beautiful cardinal, this non-initiating red here that is in silence. So I was feeling into that as you were speaking. Thank you.
That's really lovely.
And what about you, Emilio? Anything, what's vibrating for you out of this?
Oh, this whole part here about the blame, the greed, the scarcity mentality, I just think that it's so interesting because you you don't realize, well, let me just own mine. I don't realize that I'm in it because I'm going along with everything that I've been conditioned to know. You know, it's the 40-40-40 plan. You know, you work 40 hours for 40 years to get in that 40% of what you worked for all your life. And then, you know, it's just being taught to take care of family and make X number of money and pay your bills. And then you see somebody else out there that's quicker than you. And then, you know, it's all of that in the mix of just, you know, wanting more. And then credit. So I can remember when I thought, okay, so I can't have the power outright with the promissory note, if you will. Let me go deeper in and I can charge it. And then I realized how long it took to do my greed of having something. It takes so much time to pay that off that I've sacrificed another part. So the greed takes me deeper into slavery, where I now have to work to just to make it. I'm just vibrating with this whole thing in my attempt to make them pay and show them how powerful I am. I've lost it all to the point where I'm now paying back just to be able to keep what little bit I think I have. And that's been a serious game to overcome and work through. And when I don't feel like I'm enough, it makes it worse because it's what's pushing this entire illusion. And then one other thing, I was reading a piece of that article that you had mentioned, and it's sort of like Verena was reading something in here, but one of the things I was reading in the article, it said that it's the same gene that allows the bird to see and make the red coloration. So it's seeing and manifesting. It's the same gene that's tied to it. So it says, yeah. Then if there's going to be a choice, then to do one or the other. And so that I just found that really interesting in all of this place. And by the way, I also Koof picked me today too.
If I hear what you're saying, Emilio, see and make. I mean that's basically communication is the result.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the bird can see yellow and therefore make yellow, see red and therefore make red.
Right.
Interesting.
It is interesting because it goes back to the way that we create reality. Whereas everything is here, already created, we're going to place our attention on, I'm going to place my attention
mm-hmm.
on lack, scarcity, or abundance. In other words, on doubt that I can have X, Y, Z, or on the faith that I already have it, and that the promise of which you spoke of is fulfilled. So, to go back to the color which started that, I find it really interesting because you meet someone in the physical world and they wear a red dress. And that already tells you something about them. Are they looking for power? Because actually, power is red. Are they looking for recognition? What is the color that they are wearing? If they are in blue, like there's studies where there's a lot of websites are blue, and how is that to allow us to feel the content of a particular site? You know, so obviously there's all the symbology that has us associate white to purity and in some culture to death, which in a way is really the same thing, because purity is the death of something. So it's like, it's so interesting to me that I place my attention on one part of the spectrum where I know, if only intellectually, that there is a whole rainbow and that there is even a beyond the rainbow. There's those two things. There's the spectrum, and then there's the colors that are seeable only when you stop seeing physically, that are only perceivable through blindness. So all of that is fascinating in connection to the physical world and, of course, commerce. How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to buy clothes? How am I going to feed myself and my children? Am I going to be able to get this wonderful vegetarian omelette? And all of that is a commerce question.
And give and take. Yeah.
Yeah. That question can only be answered in the silence when I opened the entire rainbow and beyond, because really the code of love is the rainbow. It takes us through the rainbow, in that brown could also be orange and yellow. But the infrared colors, the colors that are beyond the rainbow, are the code of above. In other words, the shadow. Now we got to close our eyes to the physical and be transparent enough to see into the shadow. Do I want power? Do I want retaliation? Am I shooting in the dark? How pure is my service? How really white is it? You know, so those are color questions and humanity questions. Pay the bills, be friends with humanity, you know, be friends with yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's I was just thinking that all of this, it's amazing how everything comes back to one, because as you're talking, I was reminded of the statement, what you see is what you get, and the way we look at something. So if we change how we look at something, it changes, and even quantum physics has proven that to just look at a thing, change it, it's different. It's coming back to place that focused attention that you were talking about in terms of where I am. And I'm just thinking about as I'm growing up and as I'm coming through, there was nobody teaching me this aspect of my being, seeing, hearing. We're not even talking about the other senses and how they work with smells and hearing and all of that works with just seeing the colors. But I mean, it's very powerful to begin to unpeel the indoctrination that's there and what's been absent from the development and what I've forgotten to be able to see that I've got a little bit more to do with this than in terms of I can be at peace if I see this very differently. And yet the choice based on the conditioning is to see it out of lack or see it a different way. So I just find that interesting to come back to. It just continues to circle back.
Yeah. And, you know, connecting it to the circle and circling back, I may have told you guys last Sunday, Thomas and I went, we decided to go to the local Baptist church, and the topic of the sermon was the Shema. And here he and I were sitting on the pew together, literally crying. It was just because we had a very deep conversation the morning before, and we were both appreciating the resonance of a teaching that, to a large degree, I would say is not heard. And now that's where I'm going to go to the Shema. We've been talking about seeing, you know, the color. But when I really know that Shema means see and can be inferred to also mean hear, Shema becomes see hear. In other words, I become multimodal in my see hearing, to where my Shema, my see hearing, is bringing in this title of the page here. And we would be remiss if we didn't speak of the sound of silence. And what do you make of your speaking when it emits from silence compared with speaking coming from, let's just call it, an unconditioned consciousness where my mind is not still? But let's talk about that, and also how and why the Torah being without vowels may be a connection to developing existential silence. How is it that works for you guys? Any comments on that?
Well, speaking of silence, V, you've been very silent. Anything that your heart is leading you to share?
Yeah, I'm not ready to talk about the Torah. I'm still on the colors. I'm still on the conditioning of the reds and the pinks and the blues in our world, and male, female, and that whole thing that's color-coded, too, and it's all unspoken, but there it is.
I'm so glad you said that. I thought about it at the beginning, and I completely forgot. So tell us more about this blue, little boy color, little girl color, and what we know of the love code.
Well, it's quite simple, and we've talked about this in other calls, is that, you know, when a woman announces that she's going to have a child, it's not uncommon for people to start thinking about what color presents they're going to give this baby that's not even been born. And maybe they don't know the sex. If they do know the sex, they start getting pink stuff together. And if they know it's a boy, they're going to start getting blue stuff together. And if they're not sure, they're going to get yellow. And it's just weird. But that's just how, at least I've seen it in the American society. I don't know how it is in other parts of the world. Where a child is designated with the color because of their gender, and that's that. And if the child ends up having a choice, they almost have to fight it or deny that they actually resonate with a different color. And from our own work with XPR and my understanding of the color code within here, the soul color of blue, we have that attributed to water and the feminine and not the masculine. It's the receiving color. And we have red, pink being a version of red, because, you know, pink obviously is red and white. But we see red in the leadership mode vibrating on the masculine pillar and not the feminine one. So there's like a complete mismatch with how, at least visually, kids and, you know, adults are imprinted to so-called be a certain color when that's not so. And yes, I know we are a combination of male and female, but at least overtly the agenda we appear to have is the one we're typecast with color-wise.
I really thank you, because it ties back into what I was looking at the top of this illusion thing, contrast, which leads into sin. And the contrast of little girls that are pink and the little boys that are blue, and leads into a major separation and fight, like gender inequality and the exiled feminine in both men and women. And so it just out of a misreading of what you pointed out, V, that water is the most receptive element women are to the feminine is receiving versus fire is the most giving of element, and the masculine for that reason is a male element, and it's so completely misread on our planet, whose potential main problem is the struggle of sexes, the war of sexes, the exiled feminine in both men and women. And that misread contrast is exactly what leads us into sin, which of course is another word for separation, the illusion of separation. And from that background, hearing each other is impossible. So you spoke of the Shema, Michael, directly means to hear and is inferred as to see. We get, and Emilio, you spoke of the wave and the particle. We change what we see through what we call what we see. So the way we, our story makes the world. Now, this is a wave. This is a particle. Little girls are pink. Little boys are blue. And on we go, misunderstanding each other and having no space to hear each other simply because we can't hear ourselves, can't see the forest for the trees.
And like V said, before birth, I mean, this is so deeply programmed. The misunderstanding is programmed. And like this yellow bird becomes red, I hear this invitation of the pink and blue to be the invitation of our own leadership, right? For the little boys to become little girls and the little girls to become little boys, metaphysically speaking. In other words, you know, I'm not talking necessarily about sex changes, but for the male to receive the feminine and the ability to not resist my emotions and to really be a felt leader, and likewise for the feminine to have the development of a leadership that doesn't require, quote unquote, the kinds of things that our society has done. This is the give and take of commerce here. I'm hearing that myself as I'm speaking that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Marina.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yep.
And it really, to me, also goes back to truly trusting our own voice, you know, and having the guts to speak our own truth. I see that as truly an ultimate challenge, and it does start very young. This setup that you just have to be a certain way because that's just the way you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
I wanted to go back to what our opening, when I mentioned the alternate method of inquiry, and Michael, I think you talked about capacity, and this inquiry, I was reflecting, listening to your conversation, reflecting in the school that I work in, and just something came to mind that there's, from the male side of it that's been drilled down to people, is called a no snitch rule. And so you don't tell. And I see sometimes the little boys that have been forced to not feel and not tell, even though they're angry or they're sad or they're hurt, they're being forced to not tell and reveal what's going on and hold that inside. And it just shows me more of when we cut off from our ability to feel. And for these kids that I'm watching, it's stuffing it down deeper and further to the condition. And I've even seen it with parents that'll come up and they'll say the same thing. So you can see injustice or whatever is going on, but you're being trained and conditioned to not feel and not tell. And so when I'm thinking of inquiry, the point I want to make is the inquiry helps me to understand each level of that and see it in a very different way. And then my seeing it in a different way, not to justify or explain it, but helps me understand it, and then I can see it in a different way. And then by seeing it in a different way, it then changes it, because I'm no longer looking at it in the same way I was looking at it with a judgment. I'm looking at it very differently from a place of understanding. And that's just heart into it, as opposed to just looking at the manifestation of it or just the solid ground of it. I don't know if I'm making sense, but I'm just, you're triggering things for me. And even when you were speaking, Michael, you said, see here, and Shemot, see here. When those words, when I say those words together, I come up with the word sheer, and just one vowel change in that word changes the meaning of both of those things. Thinking about XPR and how our letters and characters intersperse and change. One sheer means to cut off, and the other sheer means to be transparent. And they're the same letters, it's just a shift of one. And so how much deeper is the small, subtle shift of anything impact the whole? It just takes me back to that bird again to just see, wow, this started with color. And anyway, I'm in glory over here.
And Amelia, this is so perfect.
You're kind.
I heard Emilio share about his perspective about the kids at the school, and my perspective from years ago when I did training with airline pilots, and they had studies that were done about why planes crashed, that, you know, accidents that could have prevented, and they discovered that the male, the pilot, was, if they saw something was wrong or heard something was wrong, they were reluctant to say so because they did not want to embarrass their peer. So they were more concerned about the making the peer, you know, lose face or look bad. And they discovered that the female pilots wouldn't say something because they wanted to be liked. So they would risk, you know, catastrophe in order to comply with these social mores that were, you know, that they didn't even know they had, you know, clearly.
Well, I'm hearing even another level building on that, Verena, and connected to what Amelia just offered and what I began with earlier on the idea of the Torah, in the sense that the Holy Bible itself, the Hebrew Torah, was written without vowels, which would infer that the letters themselves are the females. They're the receptors. And the males are the vowels that give an interpretation, and we've been looking at the masculine interpretation of Scripture for millennia now. And out of that masculine interpretation, we come up with the ideas of greed that we've been summarizing, the ideas that somehow I got to make it happen in a masculine way, and as Maha mentioned, the repressed feminine, both in males and females. And so knowing that the Torah can be heard, literally, Shema, seen and heard, in a way to open up this playful spirit, the yin-yang, the male-female, in a way that I can progressively develop an existential silence from which to speak. This, my friends, is the idea of the living word that was spoken of by Master Teacher Jesus, where he understood the Torah in a way that he could play with the letters and have it be a guide towards a consciousness that has the recognitions built within. In other words, the compassionate speaking that I now display when I go to be at a school, as you are, Amelia, or for me at the moment when I go make a software sales call, or Verena and Maha in your artistic work and your writing, how all of this idea of having a metaphysical understanding of a color code that emanates from non-initiating, to me, is so beautiful. God, I'm just really touched by that that recognition. That's what touched me out of this today. I'm open to hearing how this connected for you.
Well, this is Verena. I'm simply loving beautiful. I love color. And I love conversation regarding it, and to have new portals of understanding and new go-tos is great, because I have all the color books from the years ago. And when I first was talking about this with Maha, I remember saying, now don't get too attached to that way of looking at it, because we're going to be unfolding something that's going to really turn things around. And I'm like, oh. Yeah, I had all the oils by colors. I paid all this money to sell all this stuff a certain way because this was the way I was taught. And so I'm here today, and I'm really, really like how we work with it, because it really makes so much sense to me. Thank you.
Yeah, namaste is in these words that we use, no mistakes, no coincidences, no accidents. And what is really echoing me today is the significance of being able to increase my capacity to love what is to come through understanding. That understanding is to come through inquiry. That is to renew my understanding so that I can dwell sustainably in peace. And the connections of everything just illustrate that point, that, as Maha says, it's an illusion of separation. It's there. I'm disconnecting it from the way I look at it, and it's because I don't understand. It's all there. And I affirm again for XPR as a radical tool to help me in that inquiry to understand.
Well, to me, this everyone, I mean, first of all, your question, Michael, was extraordinary. I totally loved it. This is now the second open mic, and it feels right on. I mean, it's glorious. It's visibly glorious. It sings. It's really beautiful. I thank you for this question and the way that this session went. I'm feeling that I'm speaking for all of us in saying that. I'd like to complete with a fun inquiry, because I looked at the colors I'm wearing today, and I thought, what am I saying? And so I will share my colors. I invite you to share with us, what is your plumage today? What does the bird of you sing? What song is it singing? So my inquiry today is, I'm wearing red and black. A red top and a black pants, to be precise. And I find it really funny, because red and black, out of this color code that we work with, are the two colors that are found above and below. So if I am red above, I am a prostitute. If I am red below, I am a leader. And right in these two reds, there is the competition between the mind and the heart. Who am I going to follow? Am I going to follow my mind in making a decision? Or am I going to do what love wills? So that's a question asked by red. That is inquiry of red. And the inquiry of black is, am I going to stay silent and sabotage me in my corner? Am I going to not see what I am doing and hide? Or am I going to be inspired by the transparency itself, by the etheric realm, and come into a future memory and change the past? So that's what my color code says today. What does yours say?
This is brain of mine is definitely sapphire blue top and black pants and black jacket. So I am ordering between feeling my feelings and am I going to be doing retaliation? Am I going to be in the dark and sabotage, or am I coming from a place of stillness?
Jamelia.
I am I'm looking for the page that we were just on to get back there. I was my colors are interesting today because I'm sort of blue and lime at the top and gray at the bottom. And so the blue and lime gives me sort of a sense of a non-reacting, looking at the silence code is a sort of a non-reacting to any abundance that may come in any way, to just take it for what it is. It's just a part of what is. And the gray, to me, implies standing in the middle between all of that. So I would be really interested in knowing what that gray would mean to anybody else.
Well, I hear it as the victim. The sort of gray.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at there. I was wondering whether that was there. That's where I was leaning at first, and then whether that was white or gray, but that makes sense.
But also, didn't you say at the beginning of our call that you're just coming out of a cold?
Yes.
So it's like definitely the pain body and the victim and detoxification of grayish phlegm and mucus.
Yep, yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, drum roll. Drum roll for my colors today. Layer that I would be wearing.
What you got on, pink?
Y'all are going to be so surprised.
Yeah.
I am wearing... No. I am wearing a black shirt with white pants, white shorts, rather. So I am, you know, holding silence commerce, male, female, today. And I am so grateful for this beautiful, beautiful cardinal that inspired this conversation today. Truly, I'm just vibrating with love for the animal kingdom and for this beautiful earth that we inhabit at this time. And to me, this black-white, it feels very male-female today. And I like this conversation today. It felt male-female. I love knowing that the Torah has a female that my entire life I resisted hearing. And today I can hear it and really continue my own development of speaking from the existential silence. So truly, truly, thank you, Verena. Thank you, Emilio, and thank you, Maha, for what it means to be in community together today with each of you. I love you very much, and look forward to our next experience together in June with our new Essenes 2.0. This is officially farewell to this ebook and all that it's done to serve us, and I have no doubt that our new version will be equally vibratory in its nature. So, all right. Shalom Lecha, everybody. Peace go with you.
Amen.
Take care.
Amen.